you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm George Chen.
And I'm being tickled. I'm Paco Romaine.
I'm not tickling him, just so you know. I'm not tickling. I'm tickling him with my words.
It would be fine if
you were. Purely with my words. Purely words.
You're listening to SupDoc.
Look, it's consensual. That's all I want to say.
It's a show where we talk to our interesting guests about their favorite documentaries.
Yeah, and on today's show, we're going to discuss the twisting, turning world of Tickled. It's David Ferrier and Dylan Drew's dive into the clandestine world of competitive tickling videos.
Did you just say competitive tickling videos?
I did. There's a winner. It's whoever's watching. It's the winner.
And they quickly learn it's not all fun and games.
Yes, and we were very delighted to have our guests, Jonna Bechtold and Claire Evans from the band Yacht, who are very stoked to talk about this documentary with us.
I really love Yacht.
Yeah, you became a super fan.
I did.
And we're a fan of their lovely home in Los Angeles.
Oh, amazing.
And their two lovely cats. And we sat down and tried some weird salsas.
We did.
And they really wanted to talk about this, and we're happy to have them. Tickled can be seen on HBO. And now our talk with Jonna and Claire. Before we get deeper into this, we should do a little bit of an intro, general intro.
My name...
Oh. Are you here to say something?
Let's spit some bars.
In the cipher with...
What do you love in a major way?
We're here at... do you have a name for the Casa Yacht? Is there a...
It's just our house.
Yeah, we haven't really named our house. Yeah. HQ,
I guess. Like a houseboat.
Oh, yeah. God.
But we got to do a little voice intro.
Listen, we got a lot of boat stuff. Something
yeah,
personal.
just get rid of the whole boat thing
it's
now.
We brought it on ourselves.
Yeah.
We did bring it
what
on
do you
ourselves.
Want? You want first, last nickname?
Yeah, just like,
first,
hey,
last, middle?
So
first,
the,
middle,
people, the audience will recognize your voices. We do like a, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. Hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. Well, not yet.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jonna Bechtold.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hello, I'm Claire Evans.
Yeah.
Hi,
we're
Claire.
A band called Yacht, but we're also just people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're mostly people.
Mostly people.
When we put it up, we'll just say Yacht parenthetical your names, I think.
Sure, that's There's one more person in Yacht, too, but he can't be with us.
Yeah.
Rob Keysweater.
It's good because we don't have a fifth plug on this recorder. So.
Fuck you, Rob.
You can just pretend that Rob is here and he's just being like really... he's having like a quiet day.
How many people are in Yacht?
Just three.
Three.
When you did the NPR Tiny Desk?
So five.
There was like 12 of us.
Yeah, there was tons of you guys.
There was five, yeah. So, that was our largest.
Oh, okay. There's the one guy in the back who just kind of just sang. He didn't really do anything.
I think that was me.
Oh, that was you.
I think that was me.
The thing about the Tiny Desk
you toured
is
with
that
the five
it's
yeah,
not
that's what
like,
Katie was in the band.
You don't get to use your full setup. Not everybody gets to play their instrument.
Yeah. Well, you were on guitar, though, I think.
No, I was on like a little sampler.
Oh, you're on your knees doing the sample.
I was the guy in the back.
But there was one right behind you.
That's Katie.
That's Katie.
That's
who
Katie.
Was just on
she
tour
sang.
In town.
Yeah.
She sang? I can't really remember. I actually
Katie's
never watched that Tiny Desk thing out of just deep shame.
Oh, it's great.
That's
thanks.
What people say. People, it's so funny. It's like the number one thing when someone's like, oh, I saw your band. I learned about it because of
NPR.
Tiny Desk.
Yeah.
It's always that.
It's like the when
it's
you search for
that.
You guys
so
on YouTube,
frequent.
It's one of the first things that pops up.
That's
probably
why.
So you jump right into it.
Yeah. I guess it's a pretty good representation of us. I mean, in a weird way. Like, it shows that
it
we're...
It is and it isn't.
It shows that we're more of like a nighttime band.
Are you touring a lot this year? Is 2017 going to be a tour year for you?
We're purposefully not touring
this
year.
No, it's a recording year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a making year.
Inside year.
Claire's almost done with a book.
I'm writing a book.
Oh, you were telling... Yeah, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, let's hear.
Yeah, it is a feminist history of the internet, because I think that that's important, and I really want like people to harass me online in a year, so I think that putting a book out...
You're going to get
one
that.
Solid year into Trump's America about how women have been underserved in histories of technology. I'll see how that goes. But yeah.
It's DARPA, not Martha. Martha. I don't know.
Marfa. I mean, that's relevant.
Marfa. It's also it's also
yeah. But it's sort of a broad thematic history of places where women have had an undue concentration in the history of computing and in the internet.
Right. Like one of the most famous early computer people is a woman. I'm blanking. You know,
Ada Lovelace.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Lovelace.
There you go. Got the Lovelace, you got Grace Hopper, you got those ladies that worked on the ENIAC in World War II and over there in Bletchley Park. I mean, a computer, like, it used to be a job title, and that was a job. There was a job of computing, and that was like a job women did, like a secretarial type job. Mm-hmm.
Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
I learned
there you go.
Damn Hidden Figures. Stealing Thunder. No, it's covering, it's good. It's important. I'm not really getting into that part of it. It's more contextual.
Have you guys watched *Halt and Catch Fire*?
Oh yeah.
Have we?
Man, I imagine that would be your jam.
The actress Mackenzie Wilson. Wark? No, that's a writer.
Did you say Phillips?
Cameron. She plays Cameron.
She plays Cameron. I saw her at the.
And she's in *Black Mirror*. Yeah.
I saw her at the like local gluten-free cafe, and I just love her. And I was like,
we have the same haircut, and we're tall blonde people.
I love you so much.
I love her so much.
She's my favorite television character.
That show was great. That show was so great.
And just the
I'm
way
only
that it's
on
styled,
season two.
Oh my god, it's a joy. It's a joy.
Based on the old computers you have,
it's so deep. Like John and I can tell you, as just like deep vintage computing enthusiasts and amateur
We're not
historians,
that deep. We got a couple computers.
Yeah, but I mean, listen. We sit around. Sorry. We sit around at home and we talk about floppy disks a lot.
I'm trying to install a BBS on a Raspberry Pi too, so that's kind of deep.
Yeah, we're trying to start a BBS.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That show is so like. Its references are so loving and like detailed and deep. Like the people that read that show know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And they are making like references to stuff that doesn't even matter. That is just to show, you know?
Right. Like you have to serve that nerd. Like it's definitely the nerd show. It's not Big Bang Theory. It's Halt and Catch Fire for sure.
Big Bang is so weird. Like why do norms get off so much on laughing about nice nerds?
Also that nerd is.
Are they nice?
Is very bad in Hidden Figures. He's kind of the bad nerd in Hidden Figures.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to play against type. I'm sure he was like, I need something that makes me look manly.
Yeah.
Mean. I've never seen a full ep of Big Bang.
No, don't.
Yeah.
There's no reason to. The best thing to do is go on YouTube and watch the one that where they took the laugh track off of.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. And it's
I'll watch that.
It's incredible because they do the look away. They're like, you eat it, look away, and nothing happens.
Wow.
And it's like a Bertolt Brecht play.
It's like
surreal
that.
Real
so
and weird.
Great.
Oh, I
it's like
to
that
watch
Garfield
that.
without John. Or no, the Garfield without Garfield. It's just John having a crisis all the time. Yeah.
Right.
I love those Garfield kinds of isn't things. Real.
Like, what was the there was like an X-Men that came out with the effects weren't done yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wolverine. No, it's Wolverine.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh,
do you guys remember that? Like some disgruntled person at the post-production house leaked like
the
pre-finished CGI where it's just like storyboards and like weird like, you know, untextured models. Like just a silver cone where the airplane's supposed to be.
Yeah. It was awesome.
I have not seen that.
It's awesome.
Apparently in England, MASH didn't have a laugh track.
Oh.
So that changes things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. I feel like they do have laugh tracks on British television, don't they?
Yeah. I don't think this one did. I think they were like, let's just not do it.
Well, you know, war is no joke.
It is no joke. It's just, suicide is painless. Speaking of which, Tickled.
Yeah.
Killer segues that we're known for on this show.
Yeah.
Love it.
Seamless transition.
Man, did those guys get tickled?
Yeah, they did. Who raise your hand if you loved
it? Is that okay?
Well, we've had that before, actually.
I love
no way, really? Bluffing.
Yes.
Cool.
Boy, did they laugh when they were tickled. What do you think?
I hate being fucking tickled.
Me too. It's awful.
I watched it. I cringed.
I think I
no,
love
you
it.
Don't. No, you don't.
I think I love
sounds
it.
Sounds like someone needs a tickle monster.
I think I love it.
He's just like, he loves to be touched. Not to be like,
what?
I don't think I like to be. I didn't think I grew up being super tickled or excessively.
I have two older brothers.
Touched.
Oh. So that was more of like pinning you down and tapping on your chest.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I have two older brothers as well.
It's the worst.
That stuff happens.
It's
man.
The worst.
My brother would pin me down, and then my other brother would spit.
Yeah. And then suck it up.
And then suck it up.
Yep.
Whoa.
Classic.
That is classic older brother stuff.
You're
so
the youngest?
Glad I'm an only child.
Yeah. And you're an only child, so you don't know about it.
You don't know about
that.
But
I also think that if it's different with, you know, girls, sisters. I'm sure if I had a brother, he would just make me mixtapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was always my assumption of what a brother would do.
Hey,
kid.
But my brothers did nice stuff too, like that, for sure. Were your brothers only mean, or were they nice to you?
Yeah, no, they're only mean. I mean, even the nice stuff where I thought they were being nice, later on I realized, like, no, they're being completely, like almost making me die. Like, there was, like, death.
Yeah.
One of the things they like to do is make homemade throwing stars and darts. And then they would make me wear layers of clothes and like a football helmet.
Project I have a story that is in this vein. That's so crazy.
Are we somehow related?
Maybe. Are you my brother?
I am. I did all this to you. This is weird.
Do you remember Nerf Golf? Did you ever see that?
I don't think
so. Okay, so Nerf made a golf set. And for the holes, they had these plastic discs that went up and created a hole at the center. So my brother and I were playing Ninja, a game that maybe you guys play.
Yeah.
And he did like a somersault, grabbed one of these things off the yard, and threw it straight at me. And it came whizzing at me and stuck into my head, right between my eyes, like the bridge of my nose.
Yeah.
And
I
still have like a little scar there. And then, like a pro wrestler, blood just started squirting out of my face. And he immediately regretted it and turned white. And I was just like, what's happening? What's happening?
Oh, man.
Because it didn't really hurt, but it just bled a lot.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I saw myself, I was so freaked.
And did you hide it from your parents, or did you immediately go to mom? What happened?
I was a lot of like hiding from my parents. Yeah. If I ever got hurt, I would like go into my room and get under my covers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my parents could never find out.
Yeah.
I always hid too, and was just like, I fell off my bike, and my older brothers were like, damn right.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's like being in prison. God.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's like being in prison. Yeah. What I imagine like being in prison is like.
Yeah, it reminds me of like something I was just reading about how tickling was used as a torture in Chinese times.
Now that's
doesn't leave a mark. Doesn't leave a mark.
There you go.
No, the emotional one.
And you cannot technically tickle someone to death, but they could have an asphyxiation or maybe like lose breath or heart attack.
I've always hated it. And there's something like so. Just so troubling about it because it's like your body is expressing itself in a way that is like normally a pleasure thing, but you are unhappy. And it's like, it's such a weird thing. Like you can't be like, it's terrible, but also be laughing.
No, it's horrible. And it's like sometimes you like the relatives you hate the most when you're a kid would try to tickle you.
Oh, yeah. Actually, this is bringing me back to a moment that I had too. Like being in a swimming pool, there's other people around, but like my granduncle, like tickling me. And like I was like gonna maybe also drown, and I was so angry at the same time. I'm like, I'm being tickled. I am angry because all he's doing is laughing at me.
Yeah. Right.
It's just like in that crazy thing when you're a child and you're just like, don't laugh at me. And then as an adult, I understand why. My cousin did that. My cousin's kid did that the other day, and he's just like, no, don't laugh at me. I'm like, of course I'm gonna laugh at you more now, more intensely. But like from knowing that side of it, just it is terrifying because you have no control.
Maybe that's why you like early on they made you say the word uncle to get them to stop.
That's true.
It was your uncle that was doing
it. Yeah, because it was always your creepy uncle that was trying to tickle
you. I never understood why uncle. Yeah.
Yeah. Cry uncle.
Uncle etymology. Let's look it up right now.
I mean, you know what I just realized is I think I always thought it was an acronym because of the show The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, that's interesting.
The Man from T-I-C-K-L-E.
What was the acronym, though? What did that stand for?
It had a K in it, too. Though.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Well, no, the band has a K in it.
The band has I can't tell any of my media apart anymore. No. I can't tell nonfiction and fiction from each other at this point.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a problem.
It is a big problem for me.
Is there a name? So let's back to the documentary Tickled. Is there a name for
We have another host, George.
That's fine. You take over the show. It'd be one of the 700 things you guys do, and you're better than everyone else at.
No, we're bad at all of it. is there a name for a kind of documentary where you go into it thinking it's one thing, and then it reveals itself to be something else? Because Slender Man was kind of the same thing, where it's like, I thought it was just going to be about like the history of the meme or whatever.
I mean, I think it's like, have you watched the trailer or not? Is what you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
Is it about the thing that it's supposed to be about, but I just don't know because I haven't watched the trailer? No, but it does. Tickle does take you on it, and it really sells that part of it.
Even watching the trailer, you'd think it would just be about the world of competitive tickling.
Which is good enough.
Would have been fine.
Yeah.
And then it got immediately super weird right away because David Ferrier, the journalist, who we're talking about, you said, I think you had the right combo. I said, he's kind of like a Ronson. And you're like, oh, he's like John Ronson meets Louis Theroux. He's like the young, hip, cool.
Meets
like, I'm going to find the weird shit.
The cute Flight of the Conchords guy. I mean, they're both cute.
Not
you know
Germaine,
what I'm talking about?
But
the other one.
Yeah.
We all decided. We all just ranked the Flight of the Conchords guys.
Although I think Germaine's the more talented.
Oh,
of the
for
two.
Sure. Yeah. But I'm saying that the other one
is. He's proven himself.
Yeah, so, like, this style, you're talking about this format of, like, the twisty, the plot twisty documentary. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there is a term for it.
I don't think so.
I think it just means it's a good documentary in a sense.
Yeah, it takes you on a journey. Yeah.
Multidimensional.
Because like in like when docs really started catching fire in like the late 90s, they were pretty much just like biographical, straight ahead, not much going on. Mm-hmm. And then the early 2000s, they started having more style, and then all of a sudden they had to have some sort of twist to it, you know?
Yeah.
The good ones, anyways.
Yeah.
And also, this documentary definitely enters into the true crime territory, which is, you know, it's got to have twists. It's got to have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily
whodunit
crime. Well, is it a violent crime? Is there violence? Would you argue that
there's certainly a violence to it.
Violence under.
I mean, that man is for sure a sociopath.
Yeah.
Which one?
What's his name? D'Amato.
D'Amato, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. I read that Ronson book about psychopaths. Like, it's real.
Is he a psychopath or a sociopath?
It's like the same thing. People use the term interchangeably. He is completely affectless.
Yep,
that's true.
He's, like, dedicated to this, like, aggressive, senseless cruelty. Like, elaborate, senseless cruelty that almost seems like he just, like a cat playing with a dead thing. Like, he just wants to see what it looks like. Like, it doesn't care. It doesn't even seem like he cares sexually necessarily, although I think he could.
Right.
But he just, like, wants to fuck people. You could just tell he wants to fuck people's lives up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the only part.
He's just getting into the elaborate construction of, like, this horrible situation for someone.
There's a weird thing, though, that's tied into this whole thing, which seems to be his internalized homophobia. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of has led to the distinction between him and let's say that guy in Florida, Ivy, who seems pretty comfortable with the fact that, like, yeah, this is sexually what I'm into. Mm-hmm. And other people are also, and it's pretty transparent. Mm-hmm. It's almost like immediately what gets the whole thing ticked off is David Ferrier writes to the Jane O'Brien Media people and immediately gets, like, I didn't realize it was public. I just watched it again. It's like the comment he gets about, we will not work with a homosexual journalist, is a public comment on the Jane O'Brien Facebook page.
Is it still there?
I don't know that it is still there as that, but I didn't realize what that came from. I thought it was like in an email. But
so
that's
crazy.
Extra super weird.
Yeah.
And I think that sets off their alarms right away. They're just like, whoa, these guys are pretty homophobic for being into tickling jocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fitness models.
And I think like that Ivy is brought up as sort of like a contrast of like, well, it doesn't have to be a big deal. Like maybe we thought we were just going to do this kind of thing and just hang out with this dude. But then it got into all this immediate, like, legal threats
right away. Like, the aggressive, like, litigious, like, senseless behavior of, like, a Scientology disinformation campaign, you know?
Totally.
Like, it has that same, like, leading with the aggression in order to, like, dominate the space for some reason, you know?
And threatening, like, legally. And, like, just trying to intimidate people into silence a lot of the time,
With nothing really behind it. No power behind it.
When that's revealed, like the bluster that was involved where, oh gosh, that's a pretty good scene near the end.
When I was like, I was thinking about David Ferrier and Dylan Reeve there, and I was like, why even pursue? What's the point? Like, why go to the lengths? And
good
then,
question.
And I've seen it now three times. Yesterday was the third time I was. On the third viewing, I'm really like, what's the point? You know, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh shit. The second time I was like, oh, this is kind of crazy. And this last time I was like, what's the whole?
Because there's like, there's something at the bottom of it.
You
just want to know like what the real deal is, what the true deal is. The only way to do that is to go on the ground.
If you get that kind of response from a, hey, I'm interested in your competitive tickling and let's chat, and someone says, fuck you, I don't deal with homosexuals and deviants, then you're going to be like, let's take another step forward, shall we?
What is that?
Yeah, but that's a good question in general. Like because I think we all liked it and we all kind of empathize with them, but are they crossing some lines that I'd say are only justifiable if you just ultimately think it's all for the greater good to expose this dude.
Yeah,
but
totally.
They're like, and some of it is there's different legal stuff about what you can film or what other journalistic ethics there are in New Zealand versus the U.S. Like, for example, in California, you couldn't get away with like taping someone without their consent, probably, and like throwing it into a doc. Or could you?
I don't know. I mean, in all the doc stuff that I've done in the past, like, you always have people sign releases.
You got release forms.
Even like people that are walking by in the background.
Are you talking about the airport? scene?
Post, even subsequent to the airport. It actually was kind of clever how when those guys didn't want to be on camera and they get the cameraman to film them from the back, from the street where they're in the office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, at least it creates kind of the effect that you want. Mm-hmm. I'm not, I wouldn't say, like, what is the, are they, they're like trying to avenge, or not avenge is not the right word. They're just trying to like figure out why this guy is bullying all these people. And then they're really putting themselves in the direct line of fire of someone who's really good at cyberbullying.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, that ends up being what I think most of this is about. It's not about the tickling itself. It's about the cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And I guess at a certain point, like you go down that road and the documentary becomes like your only exonerating proof of like whatever the accusations that they're going to be accused of in the inevitable cyberbullying that will come. Mm-hmm. Like they can point at the documentary and be like, look, this guy's insane. You're like, there's the only way out is to finish the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems like the funding got pulled potentially a couple times.
Oh, really?
In the middle, they talk about how people are kind of like, we want to back off from this.
Oh, yeah.
And then ultimately, Stephen Fry produced this. So I kind of think Stephen Fry must have thrown his money into it.
That's cool.
I think he was a backer.
Yeah, he's one of the backers. And I think they did a Kickstarter thing about it. But it's like, and also I think now, because there's legal actions that have happened subsequently, everyone involved can't really even like really say what they really are thinking because there's legal stuff. So there's like there, even Kevin Clark is like, I'm not allowed to say certain things. I'm tied legally. And then if David Ferrier was like, look, there is lawsuits against me, so I can't even really say what I want to say right now.
Wow.
So there's a lot of stuff. So ultimately, yeah, this guy D'Amato is a guy who committed a lot of fraud and identity, like, it wasn't identity theft, but he harassed people. He did jail time for it, and part of his getting off of his jail time was, his dad is a famous lawyer in New York,
right.
So they're like, he needs to be paroled so he can take law classes.
Yeah.
And you just armed this guy. It's like a patent troll or someone like that, you know, who's just existing to, like, just, like, intimidate people. Now he has more firepower to intimidate people with.
Yeah. And of course, he looks like the classic, like, New York thuggish lawyer bully type.
Yeah.
You know I was telling them, I kind of thought that Kevin Clark and him were the same guy because the camera's so far away. And just saw, that fat guy with white hair. I thought it was that guy. But I didn't realize they were two different people. When you look at the footage of David D'Amato, like, we just looked at the footage of the new art, they had a screening, I guess the U.S. premiere theatrical, that wasn't a festival screening, and both Kevin Clark and David D'Amato are in the audience, and David D'Amato just looks like a guy who has not seen sunlight.
He's very pasty.
He's very pasty.
He's got a Roger Ailes kind of look to him.
He has a thing where, like, he's old, but he's done nothing, so he doesn't have wrinkles. Like, his face is like, it's smooth, but it's just because he's just been basking
in, like, the CRT glow of a computer screen
Pixels.
For his entire life.
Yeah, exactly.
You had some phrase about, he was a baby of some kind that was really good. What was that?
It reminded me of, like, the Harkonnens in, like, Dune.
Yes,
or something
totally.
Like, that. He's in a floating suit, like, send in the Tickle Boys.
Send in the Tickle Boys.
Yeah. Maybe he wasn't... he just seems... Okay, well, now I'm worried about, are we going to get harassed by someone for talking about this? Because that's not libel. That's straight up, you need to, like, get some sun, my man.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I think that's fair.
No, we're concerned. We're concerned
for your vitamin D intake.
Yeah, take some B12.
You know, easy D.
It was one of the strangest sports I'd seen. So, of course, I told Jane O'Brien Media I'd like to do an interview. Instead of getting a yes or no, I got this.
To be brutally frank, association with a homosexual journalist is not something we will embrace. We desperately do not want a homosexual participant base applying for this project. My concern is that your journalistic style, fan base, and reputation in your own country. Regards, Debbie Kuhn, Jane O'Brien Media.
Hey listeners, are you looking for a new source of documentaries? I know I am.
Well, guess what? There's an app for that. It's called Guide Doc.
That's right, Guide Doc. Discover and watch the world's best hand-picked and award-winning documentaries from around the globe.
There's a new must-see documentary up on the app every day. For example, Sons of Perdition, which is a documentary from 2010 about teens that were cast out of their fundamentalist Mormon community.
Sounds like my upbringing, George. Now sign up through the app and stream all Guide Doc movies for one low monthly subscription of just $4.99.
Yeah, go to guidedoc.tv/subdoc to enter your email address for a chance to get a free month of Guide Doc. That URL again is guidedoc.tv/subdoc. And you can also get Guide Doc in the iOS App Store.
And now back to Subdoc.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, tickling as a military project, that's very weird.
Yeah.
Oh, right. The MMA stuff, was that coming up in the MMA when they were talking about recruiting the MMA people? Yeah, they're trying to say that, like, look, we're just videotaping this because we need to research it for military tactics. I like what that guy said. He's like, if I'm in the octagon and I try to tickle
somebody,
that's bad.
TJ?
I'll get hit outside the ring.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't TJ. TJ was the guy earlier who... TJ was the first example of someone who was like... where letters were sent to his job to get him fired from high school. Yeah.
So let me ask you, what's the psychology behind that? What's the end game to hire someone, give them a bunch of money so they videotape tickling for you, and then when they want out, you try to destroy them publicly? What is that?
I feel like that's it. That's what he's ultimately looking for. It's that part.
Doesn't that put an onus on your what you want to remain private? Doesn't it publicly... going after someone, point arrows to a private organization you want to keep private?
I mean, I guess the idea is that people would be so ashamed that they wouldn't go public.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't know.
Then you've got them either way. You've got them with their private stuff and you got them with the public stuff.
Yeah, and that's why this documentary throws such a wrench in the system and why they're suing them now because...
Right.
It's crazy to think that the guy like claims that it's not sexual when he's blackmailing people basically on the assumption that people will think it's a sexual fetish.
Right. He just straight up says that in the letters and the emails harassing other people. God. It's like, he's a male pornographer. I'm like, well, you just said it wasn't, so what are you?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to get tripped up by something. I just like watch, I'm like, what? It's, I don't know. I guess inherently lazy, so when I think of someone going through that much work to just hurt somebody that I don't quite understand.
It's like just I sometimes think about like in the future of our planet when like all work is automated and there's just like all this leisure and nothing to do.
Yeah.
Like this, we're going to come up, people are going to start coming up with like extremely arcane pastimes like that where it's like, yeah, this is one way to spend your money. Like you can spend lots of money on creating these situations that make people miserable. It's something to do. Like that's just, it just seems like it's something
like a
to
baron,
do.
Yeah. Just like straight up like a duke.
Yeah. And one of my favorite parts of this documentary is the narration. The woman that does the voiceover narration.
Oh, yeah, right. Who is Jane O'Brien?
Who does the reading of stuff.
Yeah.
I love the way she pronounced things.
Great voiceover at work.
Oh, yeah.
When I talked to you guys about doing this show, we had sort of bounced some other ideas back and forth. Now I see why you were into that cat one so much.
What, because of our cats? Two beautiful cats?
Your beautiful cats. Uh-huh. And then somehow we started talking about Tickled, and then we're just all instantly like, yes, this has to be. And you had seen it at that point, and I hadn't seen it.
Yes. Mm.
So how do you pitch this to, like, someone that you know who's like, like you're like, you got to see Tickled. Like, what would be your pitch?
I am one of those people that if not physically prevented, I will just reveal the entire plot of a movie or documentary because I just am so excited. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I probably would just sit a friend down and just explain to them everything that happens, mm-hmm. and then tell them to watch it because it's probably more fun to watch it than hear it from me.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
We pitched it to Mike, but I can't remember how we did it.
The thing is, like, for me, it's not something that needs much selling because one of my favorite, like, sort of like dirty pleasures or whatever is watching like documentaries about like obscure sex things. Like, I loved Real Sex in the 90s. Like, I love, there's a series of like really low budget British documentaries on Netflix about like real dolls. And
have you seen those?
Well, I think I saw the one about object sexuals. Did you see that one?
No, I love it. I want to watch that.
I think it's in this British series. It's like a BBC one. It's like, you know, like
these ones are not BBC. These are not very low rent. Yeah.
This is like the one the object sexuals thing. Do you know what the object sexuals?
I do not.
That's like the most famous one. The woman who's sort of like the pioneer of the object sexuals is married to the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that's right.
And she like was a tennis player, and she has a bunch of objects that she has at home that she takes to bed with her. Mm-hmm. And but Eiffel Tower, I'm like, well, that's definitely not consensual, because there's a bunch of people in the Eiffel Tower every day. But there's also like someone who's in love with the undercarriage of a Ferris wheel. A bunch of it's interesting, yeah. And it's like I was just kind of like had the same like just shocked, like, is this a thing? And then you get to the point where you just start to be like, these people have this actual erotic thing. And I kind of feel that way about someone who's like real into this tickling thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, it's not for me. It's not really hurting anyone if mm-hmm. it's done, you know, in this certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's totally fine. And, you know, it must be hard when you have a really obscure thing. And but thank God there's the internet for you.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Same thing. The object sexuals thing came out of that too.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I'm just like, I'm a real prude, but for some reason I love sex documentaries. It's just something about me, but it's true. But I think that
she's
I was
not lying.
Initially seduced by Tickle because I was like, oh great, like just my classic genre of movie. Mm-hmm. But then it's, you know, but I knew that it was going to be a twist because I remember the Facebook ad campaign when that movie came out was like, there were a lot of, you sort of like, you won't believe what happens, clickbait style.
See, yeah. I didn't know there was a twist. I didn't see any of those ads. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you guys watched it together?
Yeah.
We did, yeah.
And so you had
different expectations.
Every twist that happened, you were like whoa.
I know. The doc is great about that. I remember the first time I kept pausing it and going, come on.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I love that you have to pause to say come on because you don't want to miss anything.
Yeah. I pause a lot of things. I'm one of those kind of people.
That's cool.
I do a lot of pausing, and especially to like exclaim. Because I'm like, what?
If you're by yourself, too? You just pause?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes I have to take a moment.
Yeah.
And just think about what just happened.
That's cool that you know yourself that well to do that.
I do. And I'm horrible to watch movies with because I will pause them.
Definitely sounds like it.
And then I'll talk to people about it.
Do you not like seeing movies in theaters because you can't pause it?
I hate it. I can't. No.
You can only leave. That's the only control you have.
Yeah. I don't go to the theater very often. Because at this point, I only pretty much watch documentaries. And there are... like on Netflix and Amazon and whatnot. But this is definitely a great documentary for that kind of stuff where you're like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it does seem like it can't get any deeper than it does.
Yeah. When they show up at the airport and then it's like good cop, bad cop, and then the weird kind of like, oh, I just happened to be here guy.
Yeah. The third guy.
And the one guy's like, that sign is so nice. Can we keep it? And I'm like, these guys are good. And the guy's like, what the fuck's with the camera? Take the fucking camera out of my face.
That's our buddy Kevin Clark.
Yeah, good old Kevin Clark.
See, the thing is, like, what I don't understand about this movie is that obviously, you know, D'Amato has a singular kind of sociopathic desire to ruin people's lives and possibly a sexual thing. But what is the deal with everybody else that he's involved with?
Great question.
How did Kevin Clark get into it?
Is it just money? Because
is he just getting paid?
Oh, they're getting paid so much, right? He's throwing all of his money at everything.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, even when it's revealed that he's got like $6 million, I'm like, you can run out of $6 million if you're doing this like every month. You could run out of $6 million. I don't know if he's really planning that far ahead. Like, and that's one of the things that came up when they were investigating. They were like, oh, well, this other guy in Florida charges money for this. It's unclear what the business plan is with Jane O'Brien Media.
Yeah, there's no exchange of money, right? Or do the videos?
Just the videos must cost something. To watch? Subscription?
I don't know if that's how Jane O'Brien works. It didn't seem like that was part of it. Or it didn't seem like you could make the money back.
No.
The amount of money that they spent flying people internationally.
Right.
putting them up in hotels, giving them $1,500
Yeah.
And like all the other things, like the gifts that were coming to the other people in the beginning, like all the other
cars and cash,
video games. Yeah.
Video games.
Well, so video games is mine.
It's so demented.
Video games are expensive. It's so wild.
And that's the, before he gets arrested.
Why
the
not
first time.
Hire attractive young straight and or gay men and have them sign releases and then do like take the porn conceit and just put out videos like that? I don't understand the whole underground, you know, like hiding
the cells.
The cells, the tickle cells, which sounds amazing on paper.
Yeah,
but
I feel like they must be making money. There's got to be some way that they're making money.
I don't think they are.
Japanese businessmen, something.
Ooh, Japanese businessmen.
Mm-hmm. Japanese businessmen.
Yeah. I feel like businessmen. There's also enough people that he doesn't need to fly people in internationally. I mean, you could just LA, just a guy with a six pack that you can get to do something for. $1,500 is a lot. You could go for $800.
This episode should be about how to make it more economical.
Yeah, let's just figure out the.
Yeah, hire locally.
D'Amato, check out Fiverr.com.
Yeah, let's figure out how to like task rabbit this or something.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, he's a bad businessman and a bad guy. Yeah.
But Richard Ivey kind of has it figured out.
Yeah.
That's our boy in Florida, right?
Yes. That they go to him. And there's some footage on the Tickled website of Farrier being tickled.
Oh,
and
really?
Also Dylan being tickled and the crew. Oh. They just sit in that chair that like
the shackle chair?
The shackle chair.
Shackle chair.
Yeah.
That's hard to say fast.
Shackle chair.
I noticed in the credits that Richard Ivey's one of the producers.
Okay.
Maybe they gave him a piece. Yeah. You know, sometimes you do that when you don't have a lot of budget.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's a good promo for Richard Ivey, honestly. Yeah. It is a very good promo for him.
When watched that movie thinking that it was going to be a sex thing for their specific desire and then discovered that it's a stark documentary, at least the silver lining is that they learned about Richard Ivey.
Right. It's kind of like they're like the Chipotle. He's like the Chipotle to the McDonald's or something like that.
Sure.
Well, and he's then like a little bit
the
better.
The ABC
ethically.
News, there's a like a 2020 or ABC News.
There's a Nightline thing.
Or Nightline
thing. Well, yeah, I think there was a 2020 thing. I remember seeing the 2020 thing at a bar before I'd seen this movie, and it was also on mute, so I was just trying to pick things up from that. But yeah,
were captions on? Closed
captions? I don't think the captions were on. I was just like, I know what this is about because I'm aware that this is the thing.
Yeah,
I don't want to spoil it for myself, so I'm not going to try and like find out too much more.
That's my favorite film genre, is like on TV at an airport with closed captions that are like a little wrong and also delayed.
Great experience.
Yeah.
One thing that I found interesting about this documentary is D'Amato's roots in like early, like he's been doing it for so long.
Right. He's an early computer guy.
He's like an early internet guy.
He seems like a genius in a weird way.
Yeah.
I mean, must be to hack into shit. And
he's like evolved with the medium in a really fascinating way. Yeah. Like back when the internet was just text, he was there like doing the worst he could do with words, you know? And then as soon as there were other like aspects, as soon as like there was like a social media that he rose and found ways to make people's lives hell using social media, it's like it's kind of like that thing of how all technologies are pushed forward by porn, you know, like porn innovated in pay-per-view television and like
streaming video
and photography
VHS,
and
like, you know, television. Oculus Rift.
It's that. It's like he's like using like his aggressiveness as a leading edge to like innovate in different technological fields.
That's an interesting point. A lot, maybe a lot of people, a lot of, like Thomas Edison probably had some weird fetish. We don't know.
Oh, I'm sure. The man electrocuted an elephant. That must be a fetish of some sort. Fetish,
Oh boy.
So we get introduced to TJ.
Yes.
And poor old TJ. He decides he wants YouTube to take down their video, and then unholy hell is unleashed against him with letters and emails and more videos.
Yeah.
When they were showing all the different sites with his video on it, I was like, that is my worst nightmare.
It is.
Like
the revealing your actual name.
Yes,
which I know.
everything
PayPal you.
Just everything about anything. I mean, not having any kind of control over the explosion of information coming back at you.
Doxing, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's doxing. Totally.
That is a nightmarish kind of. And then when you're young and trying to get a job, did they say where he lived?
He lived in like some part of America that probably wouldn't be receptive to homoerotic tickling videos.
Yes, exactly. Like our boy in Muskegon, Michigan.
Oh yeah.
Who is also unfortunately.
Is it Jordan Schalacki?
Schalacki. Yeah, Jordan Schalacki.
Did you see the video that he has done subsequent to this movie coming out?
No.
No.
So Kevin Clark created a pro Jane O'Brien anti-tickles website. Where he blogs about a lot of things. And one of the things he does early, the first thing he posts is basically Jordan, the guy who is running the cells in Muskegon, that he was paid by David Ferrier. So therefore, he can't, his testimony, his interview.
Sure, yeah, like they call it a testimony in reality TV. So yeah, I think it's not sacred.
His interview he does with the claim that Kevin Clark makes is that Jordan Schalacki is basically, will just say whatever anyone pays him to say. Mm-hmm. And then maybe like 2 months later, Kevin Clark, you can find this, we can put a link to it. He puts up a video of him saying like, well, Jordan agreed to be flown to New York on my dime to renege everything he said in the movie. So then he basically just like undermined the credibility of Jordan. By saying that he was just paid to do whatever Ferrier wanted him to say.
And then he paid him.
Okay, and then tell me everything that you lied about. Like, oh yeah, I lied about all of that. Sorry. And you're going to pay me after this, right? I'm going to need that in cash. So it's pretty much undermining. I mean, his part of that documentary is pretty like damning though.
Yeah.
Because it's just it breaking down like how... Firstly, like, is that Wisconsin or is it Michigan?
Michigan.
It's Michigan. Yeah, so, Muskegon, yeah. Like, yeah, we're always very well aware in the news of, like, how badly the economy is going in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thing where at some point, if you see a 24-year-old dude rolling around with a bunch of cash, he might be in a tickle video.
Yes.
Sort of like if you go to Humboldt and you see, like, a guy with a dog on a rope. And he's like, oh, I just bought cigars. You know, like, the same kind of situation.
I like how he said in the doc, too. He's like, it's not just Michigan, or it's not just Muskegon and Los Angeles. This goes on everywhere else.
And Manitowoc County.
Yeah. I like...
Oh, my God. It's all the money. Somehow just HBO is paying for all of it.
Yeah,
I want to know how extensive it is. And if so, like, how does he have time to organize it all? It's like, we have like three projects going and I feel like I spend 90% of my life like sending and responding to emails. And so I don't understand how someone can be like the master Svengali of a global network of tickle video cells and have just the time.
Number one, it's all he does. Number two, incredible typist. So fast.
Fast and aggressive. Yeah.
And then have the time to try to dismantle people's lives, send threatening
letters. Keep up on it. You think he has reminders like count like you know tyrannize TJ today?
He does. He has alerts. Yeah.
He's using productivity apps.
Yeah. He seems like the kind of guy that's probably had the same secretary for 40 years that probably reminds him like before you leave.
Did you send a harassing email?
Yeah. And she's just like so kept and like tragic in her own way.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Or he just doesn't sleep, and that's why he looks like the way he does.
There was other athletes. There was MMA guys. There was a bodybuilder. And then there was a couple actors, normal actors. I've seen some of them on commercials, TV commercials. Normal guys, like completely normal people.
Just get the fuck off my feet!
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let us jump to Dave Starr, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
The casting agent.
Oh, wow.
He also weirdly responded to, or he liked your tweet that we were doing this interview.
What?
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, the guy who has the letters in the trunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. David Starr and also Tickled the Movie retweeted.
Right.
Yeah.
And nice. Someone who's real into foot fetish also liked your comment on Twitter.
Yes.
Awesome. So like, hi, I'm 5'5", and I'm really into tickling your feet.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Yeah, welcome.
Thanks for listening to the show.
But the Dave Starr segment, for me, that's like, there was something about that really hit me, because it's like, I guess it was just like, from what it's like the letters that he shows on the trunk of his car to David Ferrier, and then the amount of just weirdness that it gets into. It's not even threatening anymore. It gets into this weird, dark realm. And we find out that his brother had passed away, and then they sent a birthday card.
It's so messed up.
Happy birthday to your dead brother or something. It's like, what is going on?
To his mom.
Sent to his mom. Mom.
Yeah. Like, I bet you wish the other brother lived. Shit like that. It's so dark.
Yeah.
There's something extra tragic about that character, because he's culpable too in some way. Like, he was involved long enough, and probably longer than he should have, and he knows that he was involved longer than he should have. Yeah. And so he's like... It almost seems like he feels like he's sort of like paying back a little bit by participating in the documentary.
Yeah.
He's just like wants to.
Hollywood producer, that radio segment too. It's like Hollywood producer looking for athletes to come to Hollywood to do a tickling thing. It's like, town, what is this town run on?
I've seen a lot of weird casting calls.
Yes.
We get a lot of weird casting calls, but I have not seen anything. Sometimes when it's like partial nudity, I'm like, okay, well, that's probably not going to be for me. he is like, because he helped set up like the system, right? Didn't he help set up the system of auditions?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Well, and he was...
He had women tickling them in some of the auditions in the beginning. I do wonder, is D'Amato was just sitting there just like... It's like straight up like his Tinder. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just like, this one's good. This one's good. Not this one. Like,
swiping
he's just,
right and left.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, burn that tape.
Just eating Cheetos and sitting in his underwear. Looking at audition tapes of tickling.
I wonder what happened to him.
Slamming 5-hour energy after 5-hour energy.
What? Do you think that he had something happened to him as a kid? Like a tickle-related thing? Because fetishes always come from some kind of formative experience you have at an impressionable age.
Do you think
he had a bad uncle?
Yes.
That tickled him a little too much?
Uncle, dad, sister, mom. Mm. I mean, his stepmom was like, oh, that guy?
Yeah.
You know, when they get to that part.
Oh, we don't know how old he was when she came in his life either. I mean, he might have already been in college or something.
No, I'm not saying she did. But,
how close was she to him? It seemed like
he's suing her.
Yeah, now
he's also suing.
Yeah,
which,
$21 million.
Right, wow. Because of what she said in the doc.
Yeah,
right.
As libel, I think he's using
yes, he is.
He's claiming libel on all of it.
Yeah,
which also he might listen to this podcast.
But if you listen to what she's
saying, anything untrue. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. Yeah. Glad you're here.
I did call him a sociopath, sir. I'm sorry. You're great.
Look, there's a test for that.
Don't be pushed around by him. But if you listen to what she says, none of it's libel. I mean, it's all a lot of it's just her guessing. And then she's like, you know, I think he might be gay and he never had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. He seemed asexual, you know. And then when you see him, you're like,
yeah.
I think worms are asexual, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Do you think? Well, I'm not going to.
Easy, George. Don't get a suit again.
No,
is he wearing a turtleneck when we first see him?
I hope so. God, I hope he is.
He's not. The camera is not very close to him.
No.
To the point where I really, until just today, thought that he was the same guy.
Do you guys get scared when you see investigative journalists walk up to people with cameras and stuff?
I had to do that sweating. Once. Yeah. For a thing, and it was the scariest thing I've ever done.
You had really? To do it to someone?
Yeah, this is
was it gotcha journalism?
You should talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
this
sure.
is a short doc.
I shot this doc with Vice that was all about these really interesting and strange transhumanists in Florida that started a church, a transhumanist church, but it was kind of maybe also secretly a vitamin racket.
Yeah,
there was
why is there always a secret racket to everything?
It's like
the Church of Perpetual
did this air. Did this air?
On the
awesome.
On Viceland too.
There's this thing where the guy, sort of the deacon of the church, is also owns the sort of Buyers Club vitamin company. Are they related? And where does the money go?
Okay,
so I had to do a gotcha thing where I went to their headquarters and knocked on the door and tried to get in to ask them questions. And it was so scary. And they did have that kind of leading aggressiveness about it.
Yeah.
They were just we've called the police. Like, you have to leave.
Yeah,
that's on camera, you can hear it on camera. It's yelling at you.
I'm just a guy. I don't even actually really care. I just have to come knock on this door, and then I'm happy to leave you alone. It was very scary, and I always get scared when I see it in movies. I think it's so brave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyone that can do that. And you, even like in documentaries where you sort of see like they're supposed to turn the camera off, but they keep rolling.
Right.
Like that stuff. Like, yeah. Can't they see the light?
There's
they're
a lot of that
trouble.
In here. There's
yeah, there is a lot. The
that
coffee cup.
That part reminded me of the Jinx in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
They're like when you, I'm just putting the camera on the ground. It's off now. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink. When they first go, when they're in the van, well, it looks like a really smart, these guys seem really smart. I get the feeling Ferrier's done this before.
It's like PI work in a way.
They seem to have, like, he seems to know what to do.
Yeah.
And his little buddy Dylan Reeve, like, I'm like, you guys probably have done this before.
I mean, he is a TV news, news journalist. He's guy. A little, he's at least he's been in the game.
TV news? He's like a massive, like, Seven on Your Side project, basically.
Yeah.
Like consumer, like.
Yeah, he's like New Zealand TV, right?
Yeah. He's kind of like, like, he's like, but it seemed like all, like, very light, like, I'm going to interview Gwar, like, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of light entertainment. And this became a hard news story,
Gwar.
Like, right away.
I think part of also the motivation of a guy like that is the opportunity to tell, like, a real story as a journalist. I think that's probably quite tempting.
Yeah,
when you're
for
used to doing like wacky puff pieces.
Yeah. But they had that van just like fitted out. Like they knew what. I mean, I was like, damn, girl. Totally. You're like, you guys know what to do with the curtains and the. I would have fucked all of that up.
Yeah,
they would have seen me just pulling into the parking lot.
Yeah,
like I could not pull that off. But when they get out to walk up. Oh, man. I'm like, what's going to happen?
It's also just like a moment where you can't blow it, you know? Like,
you can't.
It's very intense as a performance because he has to go out there and just like ask the exact right question right, and get the answer out of him.
What did you guys think of the music in this documentary?
I don't remember the music.
Yeah.
It's weird. I ended up looking up the guy who did the music.
Really?
And he's a guy who made Upstream Color.
Oh.
What? Like the director of Upstream Color?
Yeah. He's, I guess, makes music.
If what's the first movie before Upstream Color?
Primer.
Primer. Primer? Is that what you call it?
I'm just joshing.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy, I guess.
Primer's great.
What's that guy's name?
I'm blanking. I looked it up because I was like, I looked up the IMDb.
Man, I could not get through Upstream Color. Am I right?
I could not get through it either.
Oof. No.
I'm going to try again.
Tuffy. Loved Primer, though.
Loved Primer.
Although didn't understand
it. You know who is a fan of the music in this?
Whom? Oh.
David D'Amato?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. In the New Art premiere, David D'Amato gets on mic. It's so strange. He's like...
Why did he
has
feel like
big
he had
preamble,
to do that?
Big preamble. Just like, I don't know.
Is this the thing you guys showed me when I got
yeah.
here?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's like telling them to lawyer up.
Yeah. 5 minutes of going into that whole thing to essentially just say lawyer up.
Yeah.
And then...
This is what we say in New York, lawyer up. And then... I do have to say, very creative effects, good music.
Some of those shots,
he does not
those
say
shots.
That.
Yeah, yes. Like
he compliments.
He qualifies it with a compliment.
He likes
yeah.
the aesthetics of it. It's like,
he's like, there could have been more tickling, for, you know, according to my taste.
I disagree with the facts, but he's like, Lenny Riefenstahl was pretty good. It was kind of like
why
that attitude.
Why?
So why did he feel like he had
why
to
did
do
he
that?
Go to the premiere, too?
Yeah, there was like, a lot of whys.
Was the premieres in LA.
Yeah.
And he flew. Wasn't Kevin
Clark
there?
Oh, he left the apartment for once.
Yeah. They were both there. They both
they were
went
both
out for
in
it.
That. And there's That's a confrontation. Crazy. Yeah, it's like, so they get
so
up in
the
Q&A.
When was the premiere announced? Let's figure out how much that ticket costs.
Yeah.
All right.
That was like June
was
or
June,
July
so,
of last of 2016.
They probably announced it like a few couple weeks before. So we're looking at 2 weeks before a flight. That's like a $700 flight to LA.
Yeah.
I'm down to $5 million and $999.
So this is on YouTube or something.
It's,
this,
it's, on, it's on the Tickled page. Movie Facebook page. Oh, but yeah. I think it probably is also
oh,
on
that's
YouTube.
Smart.
And I imagine that it will be in the 20-minute compendium.
Yeah. It'll probably be in Tickle King.
Let's talk about Tickle King.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what any of the thing of that's going to be in there?
I know it's 20 minutes, and by the time this airs, I think it will be up on HBO, so it'll probably just chronicle everything that has happened with the lawsuits.
Too excited.
Subsequent.
That is something that I hope that more documentaries do, because I feel like every time I watch a documentary, I'm like quick to Wikipedia to see what happened
after
the reception of the documentary, and that is not going to be a thing, like a companion piece.
Totally. Remember Unsolved Mysteries when it would be like, update?
Yeah,
and then
going to, like, dum-dum, update. He was
so satisfying.
Well, Making a Murderer 2 is coming out.
There you go.
So,
right.
Yeah,
this year.
That.
About
this
just
fall.
Like more about what happened?
Everything that's happened since and the release of.
I think it's so interesting for documentaries to actually like be forthright about their position in the story. And especially like now that we just have given up on the criminal justice system entirely and just depend on documentaries to tell the true story or podcasts.
Yeah.
It's like, absolve us, like NPR.
That's exactly, I have a joke about that, exactly.
Really?
About how we've like outsourced all of our mysteries to the private sector.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's like, I hope, like you just go to jail for something you didn't do and you just have to hope that at some point like an enterprising documentary filmmaker comes along.
I hope my thing at least has some ratings so I can get out of here.
Yeah. Like, I hope my crime is interesting enough.
Exactly.
Oh God, so now people start doing weirder crimes just so they can get exonerated through media? Is that what's going to happen?
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's like, it's cool for a documentary to take responsibility for that including a follow-up that's like, this is what we did. Like, this is what the impact of our storytelling was on the actual story.
They made themselves the heroes. They made themselves like the advocate. This is a very like Woodward and Bernstein kind of like, but just unmasking, not like a system. It's not like the system is indicted. It's like one weird kingpin is indicted.
Yeah, because all the way strange. To just this guy.
Yeah.
You follow the money, it's just here. Like, there's nothing.
Follow the money. They said, follow the money. Oh, we found it. It was on a hard drive that was available to the public. That's the other
thing.
That's
amazing.
Person,
right.
Like, it's just like, oh, I just doxed myself.
Yeah.
That's what he basically did.
So at the end, you find out that he made his records public.
He had like a folder that's very conveniently labeled.
Yeah. Do you think he did it documents. On purpose? Like on some element, like him going to the premiere and saying he liked the music, like it almost seems like he enjoys the attention.
Yeah,
and he likes this idea. The end game.
He likes having like this a cause, a reason for litigiousness and anger, and like a reason for being. And like maybe that's the documentary has given him like the ultimate manifestation of
that. He's just like a plain old narcissist.
Yeah.
That loves
regular old. Maybe he's just running for president, am I right? Woo! That's a real corker.
We're looking for a vice
president. New York wealthy son. Yeah, that sounds right.
That does sound about right.
It's funny because that's what the Jinx Bar Durst is also too. Like those are the problem people.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rich sons of New York magnates.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the people that are their parents pulled themselves by their own bootstraps and they're just dangling off. Some
shoelace
and neglect boots. Yeah, they're all neglected. Boots. All those children. Durst was neglected. Mm-hmm. This guy, David DeMaio, was neglected.
Trump
definitely neglected.
Oh, for sure.
Like they just need sick power.
Now is Trump listening to this?
Oh,
hello,
yeah.
Sir. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
I like attention too. Just to remind you, I was neglected. I like attention. Go to our Patreon page right now.
You guys have a Patreon page?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. It's a good time to plug our Patreon page.
Yeah,
nice.
You can get
what's that URL?
One-inch button? It's
patreon.com/subdocpodcast.
Woo! You can get Paco's album. You can get a California Bart button that I made.
Yeah.
Nice. Woo.
Where did you guys start? Where did you start? Yeah.
In Portland, Oregon. It started out as just Jonna, who's in the bathroom, but Jonna, he's the one who went to the bathroom.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
It started out as just Jonna, laptop project in 2000 and something, and then I joined in 2008.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of when Yacht hit the map, I'm not going to lie.
And I'm back.
It's when you joined. He has something to say about that. When you joined Yacht
That's kind of where we burst onto the scene.
If you want to talk about hitting the map, 2007 was...
That
literally the year that we hit the map, where I played by myself over 200 shows in the span of 365 days.
Shows.
We're talking North America.
Wow.
We're talking
Australia,
China. We're talking Australia,
China. Whoa.
Mainland China. We're talking about Hong Kong.
Have you done Taiwan?
No, but we've been to Taiwan.
Okay. Yeah,
just a little.
Never done Taiwan. Always wanted to.
What's your favorite city to play in? What venue?
Oh boy.
That's really hard.
What I like to say is any place I've never played.
Got it.
You know? Yeah. My favorite restaurant is any place I haven't been to.
Uh-huh.
My
favorite dock I've never seen.
I
favorite
like the
singers
new.
Couldn't
I love
sing.
The new. And sometimes I feel like when you're touring and maybe playing like Middle America or weird parts of the world that feel like they're not so glamorous and you kind of go in there dragging your feet, it always ends up being great because people are so much more enthusiastic
and
excited and you make a real impression on people's lives. Like every one of the super, super fans we have are people that saw us in like crazy parts of the country that don't get a lot of
a weird
parents.
College in Ohio or something.
Do you guys play theaters or do you play mostly
Oh, you name it,
bars?
Really. I mean, we've
literally
done,
every kind
of... we've done it all. Yeah. Theaters, galleries, you know.
Bedrooms, toilets.
Yeah. Oh, you played in a toilet?
Yeah.
You played near
I literally
a
have.
You played near
in
a toilet.
St. Louis.
Once. This is before me.
Yeah, I remember that some kid asked you to play their birthday party, and then you just
that's
came
when
up.
I first met you.
Yeah. They flew you to Oakland to just
I
play
started
at their
this
party.
Band literally to travel.
Whoa!
And so
it's worked out.
Kids, it was MySpace, and these kids
MySpace
asked me.
Era.
It was Menlo Park.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Wow.
It was so awkward.
From Portland, they flew you from Portland,
yeah.
to Menlo Park to play in a bathroom.
For a well, no, that was different. That wasn't about
different bathroom.
Oh, actually, but very similar circumstances. It was MySpace, and it was two girls in St. Louis that flew me out. Or no, they didn't fly me out because I was already in Chicago playing like a festival. They paid for my train ticket from Chicago to St. Louis.
Whoa.
Picked me up, and then there was like...
Private party.
It was like a weird private party in a kid's grandmother's like den, basement den.
Oh, whoa.
And it was so awkward, and it was like mostly these really pretentious avant-garde performances, which you wouldn't think are going to happen in this kid's den.
Yeah.
There was like a
kid... I wonder where
like,
that kid is now.
He's
in his 30s.
And so like to try to escape the awkwardness of it, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to set up in the bathroom. So
wow.
I had this like giant bass amp that they lent to me and then a laptop that I plugged into that, and I sat right next to the toilet with my back to the door.
Was it the only bathroom so nobody can go in there? That's great.
That is cool. That was pretty important.
Were you yacht then?
Yeah.
Got it. And you were just a solo project.
Yeah.
He was just one weird man with a laptop. Mm-hmm. And then I came along.
Yeah.
And you kind of abused that laptop.
Yeah.
It got a lot of
multiple
abuse.
Laptops, I guess.
Went through a lot of...
Who writes your videos? Do you guys write your
like
music
a treatment?
Videos?
You make a treatment?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we work with directors, but we usually have an idea going in.
We usually have pretty clear ideas going in.
Detailed
ideas, yeah.
They're all very creative.
Thanks.
I went through a yacht wormhole last night on YouTube.
That's fun.
Yeah, cool. I watched a lot.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What did you like? What did you like best?
I don't remember any names of anything, but like I just like some of the 80s look, computer-y look stuff.
Yeah,
you guys get the Eurythmics a lot?
All the time.
Yeah.
She gets Annie Lennox
a lot. People always tell us we sound like the Eurythmics, and every time I'm like, no, I have short hair.
Right,
like, that's
the
only...
Oh, yeah, I guess the Annie Lennox thing. I could see it. But just that, like, the 80s bouncy bass thing, like, which is... Which is, I mean, it's great. Whoever writes the bass lines is really great.
Hey, that's me.
We
do it all,
great.
Babe. Thanks. We do it all. We're like, you know, where do we come from? DIY.
It's got a clashy kind of you know feel to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's and I on the drive up, it was all I had is like the earth, is on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, it's crazy. We have a couple of songs that have this sort of nihilist celebratory / nihilistic streak to them. And in the few shows that we've played, we played one show right before the inauguration, one show on inauguration night. And like our entire canon like feels different now because of the world that we live in. Like we have a song called "I Thought the Future Would Be Cooler."
Yeah.
We have a song about like letting the world burn because we don't care about our daughters.
Yeah.
Feels so weird to sing them now.
Did you have songs about how CNN is fake news?
Is that what that song's about? Not having a daughter?
Well, it's a
That song is kind of like I mean, it's a
Deepwater Horizon.
We wrote that song after Deepwater Horizon, was the oil, which was like seems so long ago now that
2010?
Was like the worst environmental thing we could conceive of.
Yeah. And it was on camera all day long on CNN.
Awful. Yeah. I was like watching that thing like spew toxins into the ocean. It was just so stressful.
That's such a catchy fucking song.
Thanks.
It's so good.
Thank
and this entire car ride, and I was like, da, 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 da. And is it the only song in the world that has the word jackal in it?
Ooh
great question.
Are there any other jackal songs?
There's gotta be. I feel like there's like
some jackal bands.
Like a
I don't know.
Midnight Oil song that has jackal in it. You know?
The jackal came into the house.
See?
He fought
sounds
the
right.
Dingo for the baby.
Sounds right.
Oh, George.
If you any chance to do my Midnight Oil impression, it's ready.
Awesome.
You just had it. You just had it ready.
It's locked and loaded, baby. Been locked since the 80s.
You've been ready to throw that out.
If you were to make a. Like a Lifetime movie version of Tickled. Who would we cast in all the roles?
Oh, that's good.
Because that could happen. I feel like that's...
Giamatti as D'Amato.
Oh, Giamatti as D'Amato.
Giamatti D'Amato. That is perfect.
Paul Giamatti. That's hard to say. Paul Giamatti as David D'Amato.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like Val Kilmer should be in it.
Oh, Val. I love
you
Val.
Know? Like, I feel like he should be in it. Who's going to play David Ferrier? Like, what? Jude Law?
I guess Louis Theroux.
Yeah.
Or the other Flight of the Conchords guy. What I'm saying.
Or the other Flight of the Conchords guy.
Not Jermaine.
The cute one.
Yeah. Not Jermaine. Jermaine is who you're talking about, right?
No, I'm talking about the other one.
Not Brit.
Brit. Yeah, Brit.
That's who you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about Brit.
Yeah, put glasses on Brit.
Put glasses on that guy. He can get away with it.
All right.
Yeah, Jermaine could be Dylan.
Or I feel like Stevie from Eastbound and Down.
Oh, he's so great. Stephen Little.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Stephen Little, maybe he's D'Amato. Or he's Kevin Clark.
Yeah.
Or I'm not sure. Yeah, one or the other. Yeah,
give him a white wig.
Yeah. He's great. Lewis Black. Lewis Black.
Yes.
That's who would play Kevin Clark.
Right.
Can we just get the guy from Making a Murderer to play Kevin
Clark? Stephen Avery?
Yeah, they're kind of the same physical type.
Yeah. That's
or like Steve Bannon would play Kevin really well.
What would you call it? It can't
His
be called
skin is better than Steve Bannon's skin. I will say that. Yeah. Like David D'Amato has a better skin regimen.
Does Lifetime still make these kind of movies, or are they just
they're
stuff like
a
Unreal
Britney movie? They've got that Britney movie that's coming out.
Yeah, they're doing a Britney movie.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched Unreal on Lifetime?
Oh yeah, actually. Oh yeah, you're friends with Sarah as well. Yeah. Who started that show? Yeah.
It's a show about a show.
Whoa. It's about The Bachelor. It's a drama about The Bachelor. But about like the production of the show. Yeah.
Which is great because I'm sure as documentary lovers, you know, you see like reality television and you're just like, please, I want to know what the producer's life is like. Like,
I don't know the real
story. Naked and Afraid, one of my favorite TV shows. Like, I just want to know about like the base camp tent that's like 6 feet away where like the camera guys are eating like granola bars and talking shit.
I
want to see that.
Yeah, I feel like this would be a good thing to do on our Patreon page is just have content about reality TV because not exactly a documentary. We haven't done. Yeah, I don't watch much, but we could talk about like Unreal or something like that.
I like the idea of a serious doc guys watching reality TV and sharing their insights.
Well, yeah, we're very serious people.
Yes, obviously. Matter of fact, I've made only a few mistakes according to my notes.
Oh, you took notes?
I actually have notes.
Yeah. It's good to take notes for like there's so many characters to remember the names of.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I went into this not remembering the names of any single character in the movies.
Yeah, still don't say who that guy is.
D'Amato.
Yeah.
D'Amato.
Reeve. Ferrier. Clark.
Well, you got it. TJ.
It's like one of those t-shirts with like
Yeah.
D'Amato's just like put some smack on my name, basically. Like keep your name out your mouth.
Well, guys, I think we've come to our end. I hate to say it. I know.
We had some laughs.
We did have some laughs.
Involuntary and voluntary laughs.
We cried.
We did.
That's why I went to the bathroom to cry, not to eat.
Yes, you did.
Thanks for getting tickled with us, Yacht.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please subscribe, review, and rate.
For show notes and more information about George and Paco's appearances, visit supdocpodcast.com. You can send your corrections, questions, or comments to supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
We'd also like to thank Documentary News for their continued support. Please check out documentarynews.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @supdocpodcast.
This show is produced by Will Scovel and our theme music by David Siegel.